Electrical fires aren't always front page news, but a new investigation from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel shows they're a big problem, especially in parts of Milwaukee. The report found most electrical fires are in and around the city's 53206 zip code, an area with a lot of low-income black renters. And even though the fires are suspected to have killed tenants in some cases, officials don't always investigate whether they could have been prevented. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or someone you know lived through an electrical fire? Have your landlords taken concerns about electrical issues seriously? If you're an electrician yourself, do you see faulty wiring as a big problem, especially in rental homes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Raquel Rutledge is a Pulitzer Prize-winning public service investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Raquel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
What led you into this story on electrical fires in Milwaukee?
Oh, it's a good question. It's one of those things I've been actually curious about for years as we have seen deaths in around Milwaukee and just been curious about, like, why they are considered to be accidents. We just wondered, are they accidents? Are they preventable? And as we started to look at this and interview experts and electricians, and we found out that they are predictable and preventable. And so we really questioned the premise that these are accidents because we kept seeing people dying and then them just not getting to the bottom of who was accountable for it.
And can you share the story of Patricia Colston, who you focus on a lot in the piece?
Sure. Patricia Colston was a woman who was renting an apartment from a landlord known in Milwaukee to have lots of problems with the city, lots of problems keeping his properties up to code. He sold the building that she was living in, and he offered her to move into another one of his places. And she'd been somewhat desperate. She's a person who suffered from severe arthritis. She was blind in one eye. She had had trouble working and paying rent in the past, so she had a number of evictions on her record already. So she didn't have a lot of options. So she moved into one of his apartments, and within a week, she and a friend of hers were killed by a fire that happened before dawn in October of 2019. And basically, everyone just sort of moved on. The fire investigators came. They said, it looks like it's electrical. And, you would think that, I was surprised to know that they don't investigate electrical fires. Once police and fire investigators, even the state fire marshal, the arson experts, if they don't suspect a crime was committed, they don't, they kind of just leave it at that and say, we just suspect it's electrical, and then they move on. And so, it was just surprising because I think we all sort of assume that that authorities are getting to the bottom of what actually starts these fires.
And what you found, I think in this case and in many others, Raquel, was that often places that had apparent electrical fires had past violations related to the wiring in rental places. What did you find?
Yeah, we definitely did. In a number of cases where tenants had complained repeatedly. I mean, we found some extreme cases where a property had been cited for many years for repeat electrical violations in to such a degree that the owners of the property had warrants out for their arrest because they had just ignored the city for so long that, that they were wanted for, under arrest, but they were still able to rent the properties out. And that was also surprising to us.
Why aren't these things investigated usually? As you mentioned, only cases of arson are looked into. There's no actual, I guess, body that goes back and looks into non-intentional but preventable fires?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is the case. They all say basically it's beyond their scope. It isn't, they don't have electrical engineers on staff at the police department or the fire department. So they basically say, hey, we leave it up to others. And by others, they typically mean insurance companies. And you might think that makes sense because insurance companies a lot of times do come in and they want to get to the bottom of it because they have vested interests, of course. But what we found is that in the city of Milwaukee, a lot of the properties that are being rented, from what we can tell, don't necessarily have insurance. And so in the cases that we wrote about, in the case of Patricia Colston, the property was bought at a sheriff's sale. The owner bought it at a sheriff sale for $12,000. And so when you're paying cash and not taking out a mortgage, of course, you don't have to have insurance. And so we did a random sample of just 25 properties in that zip code just to see what we could find. And of the sampling, we found that 75% of the properties, the rental properties that we were looking at, did not have mortgages out on them, which means they were not required to have insurance.
Talking to Raquel Rutledge.
So when there's no insurance, there's no there's no further investigation.
Talking to Raquel Rutledge with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a new report on electrical fires in Milwaukee in particular, and how they're often not investigated afterward. And Raquel, let's turn toward the front end. People might assume a rental property, it's going to be inspected. If there's dangerous wiring problems, they'll be targeted, fined, and hopefully corrected. What ends up happening?
Yeah, again, I think that's another assumption that people make, that, hey, if you're able to rent a place that somebody, some government agency has deemed it to be safe, you know, deemed it to be inhabitable, and that's just not the case at all. So you know, Milwaukee used to have a proactive residential renters inspection program. So in certain neighborhoods that were known to have a preponderance of landlords that were negligent, the city would go in and do an inspection prior to, you know, the property being leased out. And that program was in place for about 5 years, and it was dismantled in 2016 after state legislators, many of whom, some of the lawmakers at the time that passed this legislation, were actually moonlighting as landlords as well, and passed just sweeping laws that really favored landlords and really at the expense of tenants. So there is no residential renters inspection program in Milwaukee any longer, which again, I think it comes to us as a surprise to many people.
Can you talk about the neighborhood that all this is localized in, this particular zip code of Milwaukee?
Yeah. So, I mean, in 53206, we've written a lot about 53206 over the years. It is one of the, let me just say this. So the fires do, that was suspected electrical fires happen in that zip code 5 times the rate of the rest of the city. So it's, you know, it's quite significant there, but also just, it radiates out from there as well. It isn't just localized to that zip code. It is a citywide issue, but it's just worse in 53206. 53206 is 95% African American. 2/3 of the children live in poverty. It's already, it's a zip code that has suffered from really, you know, systemic neglect by government and by corporations, redlining. And so it basically, the people that live there, you know, many are trapped in this substandard housing.
Getting back to enforcement, suppose somebody lives in a house and as you say, many people observe electrical problems, short of fires. Can they make a complaint? How can they get redress? Why might they not do that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they can. There's a lot of fear among tenants that they will be, you know, they will be evicted, that they will be, that their rent will be raised, that they'll be retaliated against if they report their landlord. So there's a lot of hesitation. So, you know, that's what all the folks that we interviewed that are familiar with these residential renters inspection programs, that, by the way, other cities across the country, some of the biggest cities in our country have these programs. But the experts say that these complaint-based systems really aren't effective because renters are too afraid, and they're not the experts. Sometimes they don't know. Maybe they don't know that their buzzing, you know, light switch is a problem, or that, you know, that using extension cords because they only have one outlet in the room that works. They don't necessarily know that that's a hazard. So sometimes, you know, that's why the complaint-based system isn't as effective as, you know, you get eyes on by, you know, experts that can say, hey, that's dangerous.
Raquel, as we wrap up, is anyone pushing to make a change to the way these codes are enforced to prevent future electrical fires?
Well, I do believe some aldermen in the city are starting to talk about it. We've got some calls out to various people. We'll be talking with state legislators again as well. To find out, the mayor, as you know, is busy at this. He's got some news going on with himself, so we haven't been able to get a direct answer out of him yet, but we're still working on that.
Raquel, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for your interest in the story. It's really important, and we appreciate it.
That was Raquel Rutledge, public service investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She was with us today to talk about her recent investigation on electrical fires in Milwaukee. Coming up, we continue our discussion about issues facing renters in the state with a look at what's behind long delays in handing out federal emergency rental aid. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a tenant or a landlord dealing with delays for emergency rental assistance? How has that delay impacted you, if so? Do you have questions about if you're eligible or how to get this rental assistance that's out there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now about issues facing renters in Wisconsin. A new report from the U.S. Treasury Department says close to 90% of emergency rental aid hasn't been distributed yet across the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're experiencing this maybe firsthand, if you're a renter, have you been waiting for this rental assistance? What would it mean for you? If you're a landlord, are you seeing tenants trying to get this? And is it affecting your ability to pay mortgages? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jim Malowitz joins us now. He's deputy managing editor for Wisconsin Watch, which has reported on delays in rental assistance in Wisconsin. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, can you tell us about this rental assistance? Who is it supposed to be going to? What's it supposed to be doing?
Sure. Well, basically, as you set it up, this is rental assistance that's hopefully going to keep tenants in their homes. It's tenants have to apply, but it goes directly to landlords. And both tenants and landlords are interested in this going through because, as you mentioned, landlords have to pay their mortgages and tenants want to stay in their homes. And as you mentioned in your setup, there's a big chunk of this that still has yet to be paid out that social service agencies that are tasked with doing that in Wisconsin are working really, really hard to process those applications.
Why is there such a big delay in getting this money out?
Sure. Well, it's a very, very high demand. There's thousands and thousands of people who have been applying. This application, this is a second major round of federal rental assistance during the pandemic. And it is a little bit more onerous on the bureaucracy than the first round. Some of the folks at the social service agencies have mentioned to our reporter, Vanessa Swales, who was reporting on this for us. So it's a matter of processing applications. It's a matter of making sure that the applications are filled out right by the tenants. And it's also a matter of making sure tenants are communicating with their landlords and that landlords and the social service agencies are connecting as well to make sure that these applications are going through and that the money is reaching the landlords to credit tenants for rent.
Now, who is eligible? If I'm that renter who wants to get this assistance, what do I have to approve or establish to show that I'm eligible?
Sure. So there are income guidelines. I believe it's 80% of a county's median income, and that information is available online to check your county. You also need to have a COVID-19 related, reason for needing this rental assistance for your inability to pay. This doesn't make rent go away. You're still obligated to, try your best to pay rent. But this is really for people who have been affected in some way by COVID. That definition is fairly broad, but who can apply and try to get that assistance. And it's this provides can be up to 15 months of support.
Talking to Jim Malowitz, Deputy Managing Editor for Wisconsin Watch. Talk about Wisconsin Watch's recent reporting on a lag in rental relief aid related to COVID relief packages from the federal government. A lot of the money still not distributed yet. A lot of people still waiting to get that. You can join in if you have an experience, maybe as a renter or a landlord, if you're working for one of the agencies distributing this aid. Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. The Wisconsin Watch piece, Jim, focused in particular on renters in Milwaukee. How big a problem is this there?
Well, it's huge in Milwaukee, and it's probably one of the biggest hot spots for worries about evictions in the state. Housing was already a crisis in Milwaukee before the pandemic, and there you have a very, very high percentage of renters, more renters there than most anywhere else in the state. So those folks were already going to be vulnerable, and it's disproportionately hitting Black and brown communities in Milwaukee as well. Milwaukee is really one of the big areas that we're focused on in making sure that rental assistance meets tenants' needs.
And this is kind of a race against the clock in some ways, right? The eviction moratorium keeps being extended fully or partially. How much of a concern is there that if this money doesn't get to people and that moratorium expires, what could we see happen then?
Well, it's a big concern, and advocates have been saying for months, as this moratorium has been temporary and then temporarily expanded, that there's fears of this tsunami of evictions. Before the pandemic, or right when the pandemic was unfolding across Wisconsin, there were something along the lines of 260,000 households, according to one study, that were potentially at risk of eviction. You know, that was before the pandemic, or facing some risk of eviction. Here you have the pandemic, and it's a really big concern to make sure that the rental aid is meeting folks' needs, because a lot of people had lost their jobs during the pandemic. Even as more companies are hiring, that we don't have shutdowns now, there's still really big barriers for people to get to reenter the workforce as well, or to just sort of catch up from those missed payments from big chunks of the pandemic earlier.
As you mentioned, various agencies are doing this depending on where you are in the state. Can you spell out some of the different players who are handling these applications and trying to distribute that money?
Sure. So there's a statewide program. In that case, it's run by there's an umbrella organization called the Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, and they have local affiliates throughout the state, regional affiliates. So there's something along the lines of 15 organizations under that umbrella that are giving out aid. And then Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee run their own separate programs. Dane County and the city of Madison runs a program. And then Brown County as well runs its own separate program. So there's several points for where you could apply. It really it's based upon where you live.
What are these various organizations doing to try to spin up and catch up with these applications?
Sure. Well, they're doing a lot of, they're trying their best to follow up with tenants if applications are incomplete. One agency, SDC, the Social Development Commission in Milwaukee, which started processing the second round of federal assistance a little bit later than some, had mentioned that it had a really big backlog of applicants who were, hadn't been contacted, or, their application hadn't been processed from the first round of federal rental assistance when it was doled out in 2020. So there was some level of trying to play catch up there to try to contact applicants to let them know that this was still an option. But there has been some confusion, too, in Milwaukee from applicants who may have applied in 2020 for assistance and never heard back because there are these backlogs. And then they might not know that there's now this new program or a few months old program that they need to apply again. So it's just a matter of communication with tenants, communications with landlords, and it's it can be a pretty taxing process.
And your reporter on this talked to some individual people who are affected. What kind of stories are there about what they're having to do to try to make ends meet while they try to get this sorted out?
Sure. Well, one woman who's affected has had trouble juggling caring for her daughter with work. She'd lost work to the pandemic, and it was hard to reenter the workforce because she had to care for her daughter and couldn't find childcare. So it's just a matter of trying to do anything that she could to get money and to really hope that her application was going to be processed. It's a matter of, you know, piecing together, you know, small odd jobs and things like that, or relying on family as well.
Are there recommendations from the agencies involved here for people in that situation who are waiting, hoping to get this aid money before the time runs out here? What are they suggesting people do to keep their applications front and center?
Sure. Well, I think one of the top recommendations has been to make sure you're communicating with your landlord, since it is in, you know, both of your interests to make sure that that money is coming through, to make sure that the landlord knows you applied and knows that the agency is working on the application. But then, it can be a matter of you could call the agency to follow up to see how it's going. But really on the front end, the more you can do to make sure that that application that was originally submitted, the agencies are telling us, is complete, so there aren't any holes in it. So they're not going to have to, call folks back to, get additional documents or anything. That'll really help the process.
In our last minute or so, Jim, what are you watching for next to see if this backlog gets cleared sooner than later?
Sure. Well, I think it's a matter of these agencies. They really are handling an enormous task. This is a large program, larger than I think we've seen in years when it comes to housing. So I think it's a matter of just seeing how the bureaucracy comes together. And as these agencies sort of set up their processes to figure out how to be most efficient. And of course, we have the latest deadline on the ban on certain evictions is October 3rd. So we don't know how much longer that's going to last, but that is one date that we're looking at to see if we can process a lot of applications before that CDC moratorium is up.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Jim Malowitz, Deputy Managing Editor for Wisconsin Watch, with us today to talk about why Wisconsinites face delays in getting federal emergency rental assistance.